Admit, they smelled better than his old clothes, though. Not that he'd tell AJ that. Never let the big brother know he's right. It's the little brother code. Once he was changed, he walked back out into the room. AJ had placed Hades down with his brothers. The three of them were curled up on the fuzzy blanket he'd stolen from Jones last night. He tucked it around them and bent down.
I have to go away for a few days.
He felt their panic instantly, and he did his best not to react to it.
It's okay, though. No one's going to hurt you again. General Breaker is going to feed you while I'm gone. He promised to take care of you and not let the bad people come back. You're safe. I promise.
They made the saddest sounds known to man, and Remy had to force himself to stand up. He didn't want to leave them any more than they wanted him to go. Deep down, he still feared what they'd do to them with them gone. AJ assured him he could trust the general, but Remy still had his doubts.
We'll bring him back, Jones told the dragons. Anyone messes with you while we're gone, they will meet Brenda.
His fingers caressed his knife.
You named your knife?
Rambo asked, incredulous.
You didn't name yours?
He rebutted. Rambo shook her head and walked out the door, muttering so low none of them could hear.
You are seriously wrong, man.
AJ slapped Jones on the back. Let's go before they send a search party.
Hank! Come!
Remy whistled to the dog and he trotted over.
Protect the dragons. If anyone tries to hurt them, you hurt the intruder first. Understand?
The dog nodded. He was such a smart dog. Remy cast one last look at his dragons and followed his brother out the door. He was quiet as they walked through the area that housed the living quarters for all the men and women who resided in the den. They piled into the elevator, and soon they were waiting amid a bunch of other soldiers and scientists. The place was teeming with activity, and he couldn't even be excited anymore. There was this empty hole, this void inside of him. It was his dragons. But he knew leaving them behind was the right thing to do. They were injured, and they were small yet. Going traipsing through alien worlds was too dangerous. He knew this. It didn't make it any easier, though. A young woman came bustling over to them carrying a large white case of some sort.
Hello?
Hello?
Rambo eyed her curiously, like she was a bug that was about to be swatted, and Remy snickered.
I'm Leslie Drew, Chief Scientist Officer for this expedition.
What are you, 12?
Rambo muttered.
I'm 30.
The woman looked put out. Remy was with Rambo on this. The woman acted 12.
Anyway, I have our language devices so that you'll be able to interpret any language on the planet you're going to.
We don't need that, Rambo told her.
The woman's smile turned even brighter, if that was possible.
I assure you that you will need this. Can't gain allies if you can't speak the language. No, I assure you we do not.
Rambo's tone took on a note of hostility.
No one's briefed you on us, have they?
Leslie's bright smile slipped just a bit.
What the sniper is trying to say is that we've already been given a speech recognition serum. We don't need another one. This isn't a serum. It's a device.
Her voice trailed off when AJ's words sank in.
What do you mean, a serum?
Dr. Drew, I see you've met our newest team members.
General Breaker tapped her shoulder as he spoke, and the woman jumped.
Oh, General, sir.
She cleared her throat.
Yes, I was just about to give them their implants, but they're saying they don't need them.
That would be correct, he replied. They have their own that appear to be better than what we currently have.
Better?
The interest in her eyes sparked.
Yes, but unfortunately we do not have a sample of the serum to test. Perhaps in our travels we'll come across it again and can obtain some.
That's...
She looked crestfallen. And again, Remy thought she looked just like a kid at Christmas who discovered Santa wasn't real for the first time. He'd been devastated himself, so he recognized the look.
Lieutenant Cole, The general nodded towards them. If you and your team will follow me, we'll brief everyone on where you're going.
Remy walked behind the Marines, tugging at the fatigues that fit, but not quite. They were a little too big in places, and more than a little tight in others. Or maybe he just felt uncomfortable. It was hard to tell. The room they entered was a big square box with a projector screen directly in front of the 24 or so chairs that sat empty. Remy noticed that as soon as they entered, others began to as well. The chairs were soon occupied, and more people lined the walls. They needed a bigger briefing room. The general cleared his throat, and all chatter ceased. Impressive. Remy couldn't achieve silence shouting at everyone to shut up. The projector came to life behind the general, and images of a planet appeared. It was stark and barren, the image a little fuzzy.
As you all know, we have been alerted to an impending invasion by the Sarkans. Lieutenant Cole and his team went through a lot to bring us back not only information, but resources to help us beat them back. After consulting with our allies, they have given us an address for a planet. There is a rumor that on this planet resides a fighting force strong enough to not only beat back the enemy, but to destroy them completely. Cue the explosive applause and... nothing. These people needed to watch some serious TV. We have put together a security team to escort Lieutenant Cole and his squad. Dr. Drew will be going along in case there are any emergencies that need seeing to, or there is a question of safety when handling artifacts. We sent a drone through this morning to take a few readings. Oxygen levels are within normal ranges. There is some radiation on the surface, but again, it's within normal parameters. The hot spots have been marked on the map within a 20-mile radius north of the archway. We did not scan south for radiation, as we were told to go north from the gate. If you venture south, you do so at your own risk. Overly dramatic much? Lieutenant Cole, your team will be further briefed once you hit the ground.
He passed AJ a file folder.
In here, you will find all the details of the people you will need to find and convince them to escort you to the target.
AJ accepted the folder and stood, as did everyone else, realizing the briefing was coming to an end. They called this a briefing? He'd been questioned for hours, but they couldn't take more than 5 minutes to give them better information on where they were headed?
Cold. Now, if we can head to the sphere, young Mr. Cole will show us how he opens the archway.
They were going to make him do it? In front of all these people, just freaking great. Chapter 8. Remy. The archway room, as Remy called it, hadn't changed since he'd seen it yesterday, the only real difference being a bigger military presence. He assumed whenever the archway was active, they'd have it heavily guarded as it was now. The sphere called to him, as it always did. He walked slowly toward it, and felt dozens of eyes boring into his back as he approached the object. "Do you have the name or address of the planet?" he asked softly, fighting the urge to wrap his fingers around it. He didn't need the sphere to open the gateway, but it did make it easier for him. The sphere helped to ground him while he was floundering through the sea of equations. It took his brain a minute to play catch-up and sort through the data.
"The planet's name is Dextrax." The general handed him a heavy coat. "You'll need this."
The parka was solid white. Remy took it and put it on. He started to sweat almost instantly.
"Cold where we're going?"
The general's usual expressionless demeanor slipped, and he grinned.
"You don't even know, son."
Shaking his head, Remy turned back to the sphere and placed his hands on it. It lit up as soon as his skin came into contact with it, and golden light burst to life behind his eyes. Thousands of lines twisted across his vision, blurring into equations. His brain kicked in, running them very much like a computer program would, until the equations morphed into lines of code, and then into addresses. He searched for Dextrax amongst all the information, and he found it rather quickly. The lines disappeared, and he stood once more in the room that was just vast, open space. The dark nothingness became a large holographic image of the universe. Stars and planets appeared, running and spinning through it all, until he found Dextrax. The planet was as bright as the North Star. He reached out and touched it, opening the gate on that world. When he was done, he stepped away from the sphere and turned to see them all staring at him. Some were shocked, some surprised, some suspicious. The entire myriad of human emotions ran through the soldiers and scientists. Two faces stood out. General Breaker watched him, a calculating look in his eye. Again, that unease crept over Remy, but he shoved it down. Now was not the time to worry about other people's agendas. The second face was Jael's. He hadn't been sure if she would be allowed to come or not. AJ had made the argument last night they needed her or Sister Magdalene because they would know what to do in case Remy's legs needed attention, which made Remy think his brother hadn't ignored the obvious so much as he hadn't wanted to upset him with talk of weaponized legs or other appendages. The general hadn't agreed. So Rem was happy he'd changed his mind, and she was coming with them. He still had his suspicions about her. But he'd decided, while she was here with them, he wouldn't worry. He'd talk to AJ about it when they returned. 34 seconds, General Breaker murmured. It usually takes us hours to find the right glyphs, and you do it in seconds. Remy shrugged. Felt like hours to him. The soldiers, assigned as their security detail, were already going through the gate when Remy joined his brother and the others. Jael smiled shyly at him, and despite his reservations, butterflies took flight in his stomach. He liked her. A lot. He only hoped she didn't do anything to betray them. "You ready?" AJ asked softly. "I was born ready."
"Dude, you are so cheesy." Jones shoved him good-naturedly.
"I know you are, but what am I?"
he sang as he got in line behind AJ. Those old reruns late at night were paying off. Pee-wee was one of his favorites.
"Both of you stop it," Rambo said, before Jones could give a comeback. "We're about to go into the unknown. Let's focus."
Jones stuck his tongue out at her while she turned to face the archway, and Remy burst out laughing. He couldn't help it. Sometimes Jones acted more like a 7-year-old than a grown man. AJ shot them both a look meant to quell their laughter, and they both buttoned it up. It was almost their turn to go through the arch. The mist was swirling with a whole gambit of different colors, the most vibrant of the lot a hazy yellow. When it was his turn, he took a deep breath and plunged into the abyss. He hated the way it made him feel. His essence was blown apart into millions of tiny atoms, left floating in space with nothing to ground him, and then he was slammed back together all at once. He stepped out and staggered, falling to his knees, sick to his stomach. He noticed several others were also heaving, but at least he kept it down. Some were not so lucky. "You good?" AJ laid a hand on his back.
"Yeah. Give me a minute."
"We don't have a minute, Rem. This isn't the same location the drone went through."
"What?"
Remy's head jerked up, and he looked around. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They were in a clearing that ran for miles with no cover between them and whatever inhabited this desolate wasteland. Everywhere he looked, it was white. The trees, the ground, even the sky was covered in dirty white clouds. Winter. Wherever they were, it was winter. The cold ripped into them as the wind roared into the clearing and past them. If there were no trees, where was the freaking wind coming from?
"Lieutenant!"
They both turned to see one of the soldiers who'd accompanied them through the archway standing a few feet away.
Yes, Corporal?
How AJ knew the guy's rank was beyond Remy. He'd have to ask later.
I don't like this, sir. We've got no cover between us and wherever we end up. The map we were given is useless, as we are in a different location. We might want to consider going back until we can either determine where we are or find a way to reach the original landing point.
Remy's knowledge comes from that of the ancients, so it is no wonder his location is different. This is where his ancestors would have come on world,
Jael said, stepping forward.
The archway reacts differently to the prophet than it does for any other species. Going back would accomplish nothing. We would always end up right back here.
The soldier's expression never wavered. He simply waited for his CO's orders.
I don't like it either, Vance. But going back only delays us, and we don't have time for delays. We have a very technologically advanced race headed to Earth, and we need that weapon.
Very good, sir, Vance nodded. Should we set up a base here?
No, AJ shook his head. There's no cover for our men. We'll set up a base camp when we find shelter.
Don't we need to be in the same area as the sphere's opening, sir? Vance asked.
No, Corporal. AJ pointed to Remy. He's all we need to open a path home. Rem, close the archway so we can get moving.
Remy found himself nodding and stopped. He was not one of his brother's soldiers, and he wasn't going to act like it, even if he thought it was kind of cool. He had played with toy soldiers when he was a kid. Every little boy imagined himself as a soldier. Then they grow up and learn they have free will. Instead of snarking like he wanted to, he did as he was told. AJ wouldn't appreciate it, and Rem had a feeling his brother needed the respect of the people who were protecting them. Showing off in front of them would only cause problems later. Once that was done, all eyes turned to AJ for their marching orders. He called Rambo and Jones over.
Well, we know south is the unknown.
Given we don't know where we are, I'm betting we're south. Rambo smiled wryly.
Probably, AJ agreed.
So we head north. Rambo, I want you to scout ahead. There's no cover, so be careful. Jones, you are on babysitting duty.
Remy and Jones both opened their mouths to argue, but AJ made a slashing motion with his hand.
We don't have time for arguments. We need to find shelter and find it fast. Vance, you and I will take point.
Vance nodded and moved ahead, motioning his own team to do the same.
Rambo winked at Remy and then jogged ahead, her white parka blending into the stark white landscape.
Remy could admit to himself this place made him as uneasy as it did the corporal.
Everything was just white. He thought the gray of the den boring, but this place was downright creepy. There wasn't any color anywhere, and it was freezing cold. He thought West Virginia was cold, but it had nothing on this place. He wouldn't be surprised if it were below zero. The security team fanned out, and Jones gave him a little nudge to get him moving. Jael fell into step beside him, and he felt heat creep up his cheeks. She always made him blush. It was irritating to a certain degree, but at the same time, he enjoyed it. Jones took his weapon from where it was strapped to his back and held it at the ready as they trudged along the dirt and rocks.
"Why don't I get a gun?" Remy asked.
"Do you know how to use one?"
Jones scanned the environment as they walked, more alert than Remy had ever seen him.
"No." "That's why you don't get a weapon."
"That's not fair."
"I want a box of kittens to cuddle, but I don't get that either."
"What?"
Jones was weird.
They trudged along for a while. Remy would guess an hour or so, when Rambo came running, shouting for them to get back. The entire company went on full alert. Jones pushed Remy and Jael behind him as the security detail took up a firing squad formation. That was the only way Remy could describe it. Not more than a minute after they spotted Rambo, an explosion rocked the environment. Smoke billowed up, and Jones started muttering, but he never so much as flinched. It didn't take long to see what had brought Rambo running. Two large mechanical units came trudging out of the horizon. They both stood well over 10 feet tall, if you would hazard a guess, and they weren't shooting at Remy's team, but at each other. The white mech had a red design that was embedded into every inch of the metal, while the black one was a solid color, with no markings to speak of. Both of them had some serious weapons, though. It was evident when the black one fired and the white mech jumped out of its way, shaking the earth when it rolled. When it regained its feet, it started running and firing at the same time. The problem? It was headed straight for them. Chapter 9. AJ. The giant mechanical suits were something out of his imagination. AJ's mouth went dry as his brain confirmed what his eyes told him. It wasn't clear if the feuding robot weapons had seen them yet. If AJ had to guess, the answer was no. They were still firing at one another with weapons he had never seen. Bolts of blue energy shot from cannons mounted on their forearms. The white robotic unit ran toward AJ and the rest of his team. The helmeted head of the robot was not looking in their direction. It focused back on the black mechanical unit, both entities firing as they ran. "To the left!" AJ shouted. "Take what cover you can!" There wasn't really anything to take cover behind in the open white landscape. The team followed orders despite this fact. The best the snow-laden terrain had to offer at the moment was a pair of thin trees and a small mound of snow waist high. Everyone scrambled for this sparse cover. AJ brought up the rear, still unsure of whether he should order his men into the battle or remain content for the mechanical units to fight it out. "Don't risk your team's lives unnecessarily," AJ thought to himself. His heart hammered in his chest like a skilled blacksmith working on his next masterpiece. You don't even know who's right in this fight, if either of them are in the right at all.
Zzz! Zzz! Zzz!
The weapons mounted on the pair of units reminded AJ of a powerful electric current. This noise was followed by a hard whooshing sound, as if someone in a library was shushing him. The blue bolts exploded on impact. Right now, the black mech seemed to be winning the fight. It had its white counterparts on the run. Blue blasts peppered the ground around one another. A blast finally struck the white mech's left leg, sending a spray of mechanical parts in all directions. The injured mech's limb sparkled and sizzled a white current. The white mech turned in a full retreat, limping along its way instead of trying to make any kind of last stand. The black mech came to a stop 20 meters from the location where AJ and his team took shelter. From the moment, it only stared down the white mech in its retreat.
"If he looks to his right, there's no way he can miss us," Rambo breathed over the comms.
"Orders?"
"Hold your fire," AJ answered. "Do not fire unless fired upon."
"Roger that,"
a chorus of voices answered.
This close, AJ could make out a variety of details. He could guess the mechanized unit was 8 to 10 feet tall. It was constructed with 2 arms, 2 legs, and a helmet. It looked human enough, or perhaps something a human would be able to pilot. It was covered in a flat black coating. A dark blue glow came from its visor. There was nothing else to give any clue as to who or what was piloting the mechanized suit. AJ's heart stopped as the helmet turned to take in him and his team. Immediately, the mech stepped back and raised both arms, pointing dual cannons at AJ's team. AJ wasn't going to go down without a fight. Neither was he above talking this situation out to save his team. If a firefight was the only way to settle this, he wasn't sure his unit had weapons large enough to pierce the mech's armor.
"Easy. Hold your fire," AJ said, standing from his position.
He held his AR-15 in his right hand, arms spread.
"Hold your fire. We're not your enemy."
There was a tense moment where nothing happened. The unit of Marines stared down the giant mechanized soldier with stressed anticipation. "Rambo, if he moves a muscle, you take him through the visor," AJ whispered over the comms. "Your rounds might make a dent."
"Understood,"
Rambo said, as cool and calm as ever. Seconds ticked by. No one moved.
"Can you understand us?" AJ shouted at the mechanical beast. "We are not your enemies. We could have fired on you while you battled your opponent. Instead, we decided to speak with you."
That caught the attention of the mech unit.
There was a truth in those words. Whoever or whatever was in the robot understood. A sharp mechanical voice answered back.
Who are you?
So at least we can communicate, AJ thought to himself. The Sarkin's language serum is good for something. Let's see how far this can get us.
We're travelers from another planet,
AJ said, shivering against the cold.
We're only here seeking allies. We have no intention of causing you or your people harm. Can we lower our weapons?
There was another pause. AJ was beginning to think that the mech was relaying these events to its superiors and waiting for their orders. The mechanical voice came again, making AJ wonder if there was anyone inside at all, or if this was an unmanned robotic unit of some kind.
I will lower my weapon. You do the same.
An uneasy moment fell over the group. Both sides looked to one another to see who would lower the barrels of their weapons first. It was like playing a game of deadly chicken. Each force was putting a level of trust in one another that was not yet earned. AJ decided to go first. Slowly, he lowered his hands to the ground. His right hand, holding his AR-15, came to rest at his side. The flat black armor in front of him did the same. It lowered its raised arms, allowing the barrels on each of its forearms to point toward the snowy ground below.
What do you want from our planet?
The mechanical voice asked.
My name is AJ Cole,
AJ said, placing his free hand on his chest.
We come here seeking answers. Our world is about to be invaded by the Sarkins. We have information that leads us to believe there may be a way to defeat them here on your planet.
Another pause, as the mech in front of them digested this information.
I am Unit 2571 of the Imperial Coalition of Dextrax,
the mech answered.
If you are what you say you are, then I have no feud with you. However, I cannot allow you to travel unchecked in our territory. I'll need to secure your weapons.
AJ felt a pit growing in the middle of his stomach. It went against all his years of training to let go of his weapon. Everything in him rebelled against this single thought.
You're asking us to put a lot of trust in you, AJ said, thinking over the offer. What's to stop you if we hand over our weapons, and you are anything but what you say you are?
Loyalty is honored above all else to my people,
Unit 2571 said, as if he were insulted AJ would even bring up the topic of conversation.
Either trust me and come with me, or return to your homeworld now. There is no other option.
AJ, Rambo said via the comms, I have hostiles to our 9 o'clock. Looks like Unit 2571 called for reinforcements.
AJ looked to his left, squinting through the harsh white terrain. Sure enough, the approaching mech units were easy to spot. They didn't seem to care they were being seen. They'd be on them in a few minutes anyway. The thought that kept AJ's resolve steeled was the memory of the Emperor of Sarka taking his arm. That same sinister leader was preparing to invade Earth. If AJ turned back now, he would live to regret this decision. The only way he could see at the moment was forward. Whatever this weapon was on the planet of Dextrax, AJ wasn't going home without it.
Okay, Unit 2571, AJ said, and dropped his weapon. I hope you're everything you say you are.
AJ clenched the fingers on his right hand into a fist. If need be, he could form a weapon out of his arm at a moment's notice. At the very least, he might be able to buy his team a few precious minutes if things got hairy and they needed to run. His team followed his lead, each placing their weapon on the ground, as if they were having to cut off one of their own limbs. Separating a Marine from his or her weapon was like asking them to, in fact, rip off a piece of their own body. A chill breeze bit at AJ's exposed face as he shrugged deeper into his coat. The ragged sky showed neither sun nor moon as the laden clouds rolled slowly overhead.
We'll send for a dropship and take you in to speak with our commander,
Unit 2571 said.
He wants to speak with you as well.
AJ waited with the others for the dropship to arrive. Remy and Jael looked the most nervous of the bunch. They spoke in low tones as if they were discussing a top-secret project they didn't want anyone else to hear.
You two okay? AJ asked as they waited together.
I know nothing of this world, Jael said with a shake of her head. I do, however, know that we are neither allies nor enemies with these people. We have the option now to be either. We must tread lightly.
I couldn't agree more, AJ said, folding his arms over his chest. Right now, we need to take every chance we can at gaining allies for the fight that's headed our way. While the group spoke, the other mechs arrived. There were four more units that stood with Unit 2571. If they were communicating, they were doing so using their own comm channel. AJ could hear nothing.
What are the odds these are the weapons we had intel on?
Remy asked his brother. Puffs of steam came from his mouth with each word.
I mean, what if these giant mech warriors are our ticket to victory against the Sarkans?
I've thought about that already, too, AJ said, eyeing the mechanical soldiers again. If they are, we have to either convince them to fight with us or hand over their tech. I'm not sure either of those options are going to be easy. While AJ was talking, Jones and Rambo joined them. It was the troubled look on Jones's face that told AJ what was coming next.
Contingency plan? Jones asked. I don't trust the buckets of bolts farther than I can throw them. And they have to weigh 2 tons each. Orders if things go bad?
I can buy us some cover with my arm, AJ said, making sure not to look down at the limb while he said the words. Remy might have another one of those psychic blasts in him. That would be cool. What do you say, Rem?
I don't know how I did that in the first place, Remy said, rubbing his forehead. I can't just do it on command. You're able to channel the power of the gateway just like you do when you open it, Jael coached him. With practice, you will learn how much you are capable of.
Right, Remy said, trying to keep the sarcasm out of his voice and failing.
But as of this moment right now, I can't summon it on command.
A distant roaring sound came from the horizon. With each passing second, it grew in volume. All eyes looked at the dark skies. To the west, a massive ship broke through the clouds. The behemoth of a craft headed for their location.
Run! Unit 2571 interrupted AJ's thoughts of wonder. That's not our ship! It belongs to the enemy!
Chapter 10 AJ
AJ did, in fact, feel like a fool when he found out the ship bearing down on them was not the one they were waiting for. He closed his jaw and gathered his team. Without hesitation, they followed the unit of black mechs as they ran in the opposite direction. A distant sound, something akin to thunder, emanated from the ship.
Cover!
Unit 2571 yelled through his outer speakers. AJ hit the ground hard, placing both hands over his head.
Boom!
10 meters to their left, a patch of snowy terrain disappeared in a plume of smoke and debris. Pieces of the ground flew in every direction as the round struck with enough force to shake the land itself.
Hurry! Hurry!
One of the other mech units screamed. The voice was still mechanical, but this time carried a hint of panic with it. AJ and the others didn't need to be told twice. In a second, they were on their feet again, sprinting through the snow for cover. The ankle-high snow that deepened up to their knees made the nightmare even more difficult. AJ spurred on his team as more rounds struck the ground around them. One of the mechs on the far left flank was there one moment, then obliterated to nothing more than smoking metal the next.
We know where we're going?
Remy yelled to the mech in the lead, Unit 2571.
Tell me we have a plan!
The mech turned only for a moment before nodding. It pointed to a low hill with a dark cave entrance set in the side.
There,
Unit 2571 said with a rush of words, our salvation lies inside. AJ didn't need to hear more, as the ship overhead grew closer and closer. He didn't dare look back or up into the sky. They were so close now. In 30 meters, they would reach the supposed safety of the cave entrance.
Boom! 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 Boom!
The approaching ship unloaded another onslaught of rounds. All around AJ, soil and snow kicked up. A round landed so close, he was taken off balance by the impact. He was hurled to the side like a piece of insignificant debris. AJ didn't remember being tossed into the sky or even the fall. All he remembered now was pushing himself to his hands and feet, blinking dirt and sweat from his eyes. His head felt like his brains had just been taken out, scrambled on a skillet, and put back. Remy and Jones were in front of him, pulling him to his feet. He knew they were screaming something at him by the looks on their faces and the way their mouths moved. His hearing was absent. A dull note sounded in the back of both eardrums. His little brother and the massive Marine helped AJ along. They half dragged him, half carried him to the safety of the cave entrance. The mechs were able to outdistance AJ and the rest of his team easily. Surprisingly, they did not immediately travel into the safety of the cave. Instead, Unit 2571 set up a line with himself and the remaining three mechs. They knelt on the ground with their right knee. From over their left shoulder, a long-range cannon retracted from their back. AJ watched as the weapons fired. Shockwaves traveled through the mechs. If they weren't kneeling to form a solid base, they would have fallen over for sure. The next instant, AJ was inside the dark cave. It was just as cold inside, minus the wicked chill that came from the wind. The interior of the cave was too dark to see far. Jones and Remy placed AJ beside one of the stone walls. Remy knelt next to his brother, his eyes full of concern. AJ's hearing was just coming back as he heard Remy's familiar voice once more. It sounded distant, as if his brother was yelling to him from down a long hallway.
"Can you hear me? AJ, can you hear me?"
Remy asked anxiously.
My hearing's coming back,"
AJ said, reaching to his left ear. His fingertips came back bloody.
"Give me a minute."
AJ struggled to his feet, looking for the rest of his crew. Rambo and Corporal Vance were just making it into the cave at the moment. The rest of their squad was gone.
"Fall back!" Unit 2571 shouted from his comms. "Fall back!"
The mechanized units obeyed, one by one seeking safety in the shelter of the cave. The enemy ship was close enough now that AJ could get a better view of its build. It looked like an actual carrier ship AJ had seen back home. An oval shape for the deck, supported by a sleek lower body that came down to a point. Cannons were placed on the deck of the ship in no particular order. A new rain of fire slammed into the cave wall. The last mech to move from outside did so too slowly. It disappeared under a mountain of rock and debris. For a moment, the interior of the cave was as dark as the night itself. Unit 2571 and its two counterparts switched on their lights. The illumination came from light embedded around their suits. Together, the unlikely group studied the cave interior. AJ was still trying to get over the fact that he lost so many men in such a short amount of time. Sure, his own team was all there, but what of Vance's security detail? What about Dr. Drew? They were gone. All of them annihilated, and for what? By whom?
"I want answers now," AJ said, going over to whom he thought was Unit 2571.
The mechs were nearly identical with their black armor and visors.
"What's going on here?"
The giant mech in front of him raised a hand and pointed to his helmet. AJ was about to plow into him again, when the mechanical voice of Unit 2571 came back.
"There's no reception in here, but the Prittery had to have inside information on where we were."
Unit 2571 looked to his two comrades that escaped the slaughter.
"Before we were ambushed, I received word that our own dropship was taken off guard. Someone is feeding them information, and I think that someone is right here."
The mech on Unit 2571's right moved so fast, AJ had a hard time tracking his actions. In a flash, the unit raised both his forearms. He pointed the twin barrels at his comrades and let loose. Unit 2571 twisted out of the way as if he were anticipating an attack from his compatriots. The other mech wasn't so lucky. He took a blast to the helmet and fell to his knees, a smoking crater where the mech's head used to be. AJ wasn't about to sit back and do nothing. He created a grenade launcher with his right hand. The appendage burst through his uniform as it took on the shape. AJ unloaded the weapon onto the rogue mech, hammering the unit back as his grenades exploded against the mech on impact. The lighting in the cave was insane, as the lights from the mechs twisted and turned in every direction with their movement. AJ's grenades created short-lived explosions of light on detonation. The sounds of the booming in such a short haul would have caused AJ's ears to scream in pain if he weren't half deaf already. When the blazes of light came on impact, AJ could tell his arm was on point. His grenades pushed the mech back, causing him to reel. What they did not do was penetrate the armor of the traitor mech. Each round, fired from his grenade launcher, wore on AJ like a weight he was having to push over and over again. Energy was being sucked out of his body to create the rounds. He understood he couldn't keep this up for long. He knew Rambo, Jones, Remy, and Jael would be looking for a way to help. With their weapons gone against such an enemy,
they would be hard-pressed to find a way to offer aid.
Boom, 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 boom!
AJ kept up the volley, afraid to think about what would happen when he ran out of energy, and the mech in front of him was able to regain its footing. Lucky for AJ, he would never have to find out. Unit 2571 lunged into action. A blade appeared from his right vambrace. It hummed a dullish white blue as it arced down through the other mech's helmet and cut it in two from head to groin. The defeated mech sparked. Small explosions went off, and he fell in two equal parts on either side of Unit 2571's blade. Everyone in the room was still. With the exception of AJ, everyone else had their hands over their ears. The only light in the room came from Unit 2571. Both his humming sword and the lights set into his armor bathed the tunnel in illumination. AJ was breathing hard. The events around him spiked his adrenaline. The cost required to use the grenade launcher to such a degree sapped him of energy. It felt something like a day spent under the hot sun. Smoke rose from the barrel of the weapon on his right arm. "I did not know you were a machine," Unit 2571 said. "I did not know you were one of us."
"I'm not," AJ slumped to the ground. "I'm not like you. I'm nothing like you."
"AJ, are you all right?"
Remy reached his brother's side at the same time as Rambo.
"Are you hurt? You're bleeding from your ears."
"That happened before,"
Rambo said, looking into AJ's eyes. She judged the size of his pupils.
"You look okay. You still with us?"
"I'm with you," AJ said,
rising to his feet again. He looked at Unit 2571, who crouched over the mech that had its head blown off by the traitor. It was strange to see a machine show any kind of emotion without showing any emotion at all. Unit 2571 rested a hand on his fallen counterpart. If a machine could leave a tender touch, it did. There were no words, and of course no tears, but a deep sense of sadness fell over the room, as if Unit 2571 had known this other mech on a personal level. AJ used the time to look over the mech that had been cut in two. The weapon that performed the act still hummed in Unit 2571's hand. There was no room for a cockpit inside. Instead, a complicated circuitry of wires and gears lay within. These were not mechanical suits at all. These were robotic soldiers, maybe even AIs being led into battle to fight against one another. The more AJ tried to wrap his mind around what was going on here, the more he was confused. Apparently, Jones felt the same way.
"All right, Tin Man,"
Jones's voice boomed in the ill-lit cave.
"We need answers, and we need them now. We've done everything you asked, even leaving our weapons behind, and now half of us are dead. What's going on here?"
Unit 2571 gave his compatriot one final pat on the shoulder before rising to his feet. The sword in his hand retracted into his vambrace. Through the darkened lens of his helmet, he looked at each of them.
"What I am about to tell you must not leave this cave,"
Unit 2571 began in his mechanical voice.
"There are those amongst my own order that work against us, as you have seen with your very eyes. There is a..."
A blood-curdling scream came from deeper within the cave, cutting off whatever secret Unit 2571 was about to tell them next. Chapter 11. Remy. 1 minute, they were trudging through the snow behind the monstrous mechanical units, and the next, they were running for their lives. Explosions everywhere. People there 1 minute, and then gone the next. He looked down, and saw blood splattered on his clothes. Blood from the security team whose names he didn't know. He saw the people beside him disappear when the bomb-like missiles landed on them, heard the screams, then the awful silence. It reverberated through his mind. The look on Dr. Drew's face when she hit the ground, her eyes lifeless. He had their blood on him, on his clothes, his coat, probably his face. "Please don't be on my face." He swiped at his face, and when he pulled his fingers away, there was blood on them. His hands shook, and he scrubbed at his face. He had to get it off. The coat, everything.
AJ started screaming at the mech unit, and then the big thing opened fire on one of the other units. His friend fell, and all Remy could think about was the soldiers lying on the barren winter wasteland outside. AJ's hand morphed into some kind of rocket launcher, and he joined in the mech fight. Bloody fingers, blood on his cheeks, blood on his clothes, so much blood, broken bodies, blackened flesh, screams, and Dr. Drew's lifeless eyes.
Down, Prophet!
Jael pushed him down.
Cover your ears! She shouted.
His hands crept up and tried to block out the sounds, but those screams kept rattling around. He couldn't block them out. Why were they still screaming? They were dead. They shouldn't be screaming still.
Prophet? Jael whispered. Remy?
He rocked back and forth, trying desperately to shut out the sounds of the screams. An ear-splitting howl echoed through the cavern. It was so loud, it traveled past his hands, pressed tightly against his ears. Jael tried to pull him back, but he didn't budge. Everything was spinning, his stomach churned, and he wanted to run from the images and the sounds that assaulted him. Why was he here? He wasn't a soldier. They shouldn't have made him come. He shouldn't have insisted on coming. He should be home, hacking into things he had no right to be in. He should be hanging out with his best friend Max and flirting with Jenny down the street, binge-watching Netflix and eating day-old pizza from the place by Whole Foods. Best sauce in town. Not witnessing useless death, not seeing their broken, bleeding, and burned bodies. Not having blood smearing his clothes. Not hearing their cries. He shouldn't be here. His stomach heaved, and he leaned over, emptying its contents onto the cold ground.
Remy, please!
Jael tugged at his arm again, and he looked up. Jones, Rambo, and his brother were all staring into the depths of the darkened cave. Jael pried his hands loose, and the low growling reached his ears. It sounded like an oversized cat. His own cat, Maya, sounded like that when he woke her up from a nap. She liked to curl up in his freshly laundered towels right after they came out of the dryer. Drove his mother nuts.
"What is that?" Rambo asked.
"It could be a prowler," came Unit 2571's answer. "A type of feline creature almost as big as I am."
"Like those big mammoths from the prehistoric era?"
Jones sounded way too happy. Remy wiped at the blood on his sleeve.
"Those are prehistoric elephants,"
Rambo whispered. Jones shrugged.
"Stand behind me," Unit 2571 commanded. "These things are lethal, and with no weapons, you are vulnerable."
Jael tugged at Remy, and he allowed her to lead him behind the mechanical unit. His hair started to crawl, and he wondered if there were pieces of the security team plastered to the strands. A low snarl hovered near the edge of where the light faded near the back of the cave. The hissing became more ominous, and all Remy could do was scrub at the blood on his coat, trying to wipe it away. He wanted it off. Desperate, he tore the coat off and threw it. That only served to make him start to shiver because there was still blood on his hands and his pants.
"Remy," AJ's hand gripped his shoulder.
"Get it off!" He tried harder to scrub at the blood, only this time his fingernails scraped his own skin, drawing fresh blood. The pain was only another sensation running rampant over his skin.
"Get what off?" AJ asked quietly.
"Their blood! It's all over me!" He could no more stop the hysterical shouting than he could stop breathing. It was all too much.
"Keep him quiet,"
Rambo hissed as the creature came into the light. It was massive, at least 8 or 9 feet tall and just as long. Wide legs corded and thick muscles hunched, ready to spring. Its snow-white fur was a stark contrast to the icy blue eyes that stared at them like they were lunch. And yet, Remy didn't care about the mammoth cat or the danger it posed to them. He was too focused on the feeling of all those innocent people's blood coating his skin, his clothes, his hair. Somewhere in the farthest corner of his mind, he understood now was not the time to break down and have a hysterical fit. It was the worst absolute moment.
but he couldn't control it.
The creature barreled at them, and Remy started trying to rip his shirt and pants from his body, anything to get the blood off. AJ did his best to control him, but Remy shoved him away. Jones wrapped his arms around him and held him still while the mech unit fired round after round at the big cat. AJ looked torn between helping him and dealing with the big cat.
"Go," Jones told him. "I got this."
AJ ran back towards the cat, his hand morphing into his weapon of choice, and he started firing at it. The thing had no metal shielding or armor of any kind, but it was hard to kill.
"Easy, Rem."
"I'm not okay. I'm covered in their blood."
"Shh," Jones soothed. "Take deep breaths in and out. Focus only on breathing, and the panic will start to subside. I promise."
Remy closed his eyes and did what Jones told him to do. Anything to make all of this stop torturing him. He breathed in through his nose and out through his mouth, listening to Jones tell him he was safe, he was okay. And after a few minutes, the panic did start to recede. But he was afraid. What if when he opened his eyes again, it all came flooding back? The feelings, the sensations, things he'd never felt before. Things he wasn't prepared to ever feel again.
"There you go," Jones said. "Just let it wash away. Let it fade with every deep breath you take. It's all gonna be better. It'll never be okay again, but it gets better."
Jones at least didn't lie and tell him everything would go away, and it'd be like it never happened. He had a feeling AJ would have assured him of that. Oh, but that wasn't true. AJ would have protected him. But so was Jones, in his own way. He was telling him truths to prepare him for the things to come.
"Open your eyes," Jones commanded.
When he did, the first thing he saw was AJ staring at him, his eyes full of concern.
"You okay, little brother?"
He shook his head, not trusting his voice. He looked past him to where the cat lay on the floor, bleeding out. He tensed, and Jones turned so he wasn't looking at the thing.
"When is that transport coming?"
Rambo asked softly.
"Soon," Unit 2571 said. "Maybe 30 minutes out."
"Help me get this thing back in the shadows," AJ muttered, and headed toward the cat. The mech and he hauled it deeper into the cave. Rambo looked around and gathered a few things together she found in the cave and started a small fire. Smoke made his eyes sting, or at least that was what he told himself, as Jones made him sit in front of the fire. The big Marine took his own coat off and wrapped him in it. Jael hovered in the background as he stared into the flames, fighting to keep the screams out of his head. "Breathe in and out," he told himself. "In and out."
"We should never have left the winged rats behind," Jones tried to whisper to AJ, but failed miserably. He didn't have a voice made for whispering, especially in small, cramped spaces. "They keep him grounded. He would have worked to stay calm to keep them calm." "It wasn't a viable option," AJ said tiredly. "They were injured, and you know it."
"He's just a kid,"
Rambo whispered. But again, it carried to him.
"We shouldn't have brought him."
"The general insisted."
AJ started to sound defensive, but Remy knew he was blaming himself. Jones grumbled something he couldn't quite make out, but it sounded a lot like words he'd never heard the guy mutter.
"I'll talk to him," AJ finally said after a long, silent minute. "No, I'll talk to him."
Jones put a hand on his brother's shoulder.
"He's my brother."
"Yes, he is. But you're a soldier, boss. You've always wanted to be a soldier, and you can't understand what he's going through."
"And you can?"
"Yes," Jones said with a nod. "This wasn't my first choice. It got thrust upon me, and I had to learn to deal. I'm not made of stones. As much as I try to hide it, I'm sensitive to things, and I can be a big softy. I had to learn to table that and become a soldier. Let me help him." AJ must have agreed, because Jones came and sat down beside him. He didn't say anything for the longest time, but when he did,
His voice took on a haunted quality.
The first man I ever saw die was Mac McKinney. He was my best friend. He got me drunk, and we signed up for the Marines when we were 20. I tried to get out of it because I wanted no part in soldiering. Mac's mom begged me to go with him. Said he wasn't as strong as me, and he needed someone to protect him. So I went and joined, against my better judgment. We were stationed in Kabul. A transport truck got ambushed. We were running for cover when the bullet hit him in the back, ripped through his kidneys. I dragged him into cover, shot and killed my first man that same day. He was running at us, and I knew if I didn't shoot, I couldn't save Mac. So I shot him. He went down. But when I looked to tell Mac we were safe, he was already gone. I still remember the way his eyes glazed over. Some nights, I dream about it. Can't get it out of my head to this day. Your first always stays with you.
It never goes away? Remy asked so softly, he barely heard the words.
No. It'll never go away. That memory will always be there right behind your eyes for the rest of your life. You'll learn to deal with it, though. You channel that fear and anger into something useful. Like knitting.
Knitting? Remy turned to look at him. Sure, he was messing with him. But Jones was serious.
Knitting. It requires patience and concentration. Keeps my mind off things I'd rather not remember.
Did you freak out?
Jones nodded. I got the shakes. I threw up. I panicked. For months, I'd wake up in a cold sweat with the shakes. You just learn to find a way to turn your mind from it.
What if I can't?
You will. I'll teach you to knit.
Remy frowned, but he didn't turn down the offer.
Today is the hardest. You're like me. You're not a soldier at heart. You will never be AJ, the soldier to his core. And that's okay. You be you, and never apologize for it. Take today. Let the horror of it wash over you, and then put it behind you. Your dragons are counting on you to put it behind you. If you're upset, they're upset. And we can't have that. They're upset enough as it is. I don't want to be barbecue when we go back to three little pissed-off winged rats.
His attempt at a joke fell a little flat, but it lessened some of the tightness around Remy's chest. I feel them on me. Remy shivered at the thought. The doctor's eyes.
I know. Jones ruffled his hair. It's hard. Soon as we can, we'll get you cleaned up. You have to lock it down from now and be strong. Don't think about it. Keep your eyes fixed straight ahead and think about Zeus defecating on your brother's bed.
A small smile tugged at his lips. Zeus was the trickster of the lot, and he enjoyed causing trouble.
There's that smile. You focus on that, and we'll let you fall apart later. We got stuff to do.
Stuff to do,
he echoed. Transport's here.
Jones jerked his head toward the entrance where AJ stood waiting for them.
When? Doesn't matter. We would have sat here all day if you needed to, but you're stronger than you think. Now, let's put this fire out and go find us some allies to kick butt with, yeah?
Remy nodded and helped Jones put the fire out before following him out to the transport. He left his parka lying there, and Jones never asked for his own back. Jones was right. He would fall apart later. They had stuff to do. Chapter 12. Remy. The transport ship was huge. They were in some kind of cargo hold with boxes and containers strapped down so they wouldn't go sliding as they sped through the air. His stomach tilted every so often when the ship dipped or turned suddenly. He was guessing they were being so erratic to keep anyone else from tailing them. His nerves calmed down, the more he thought about his dragons and what his state of mind was doing to them. They were already upset and in pain. Him adding to their anxiety didn't sit well. He forced his mind away from the horrific experience he'd just gone through, and instead focused solely upon sending them reassuring thoughts. Now that he wasn't as panicked, he could feel them. They were terrified, and he was doing everything in his power to soothe them. Prophet?
Jael's soft voice pulled him out of his own head.
Just Remy. He hated that title. He wasn't some second coming.